1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and page 704 in the King James Bible in the pew in front of you. 1 Thessalonians 4. We're going to look at verses 13 through 18 this morning. And I'm going to kind of put the brakes on a little bit and slow down. I feel like we're rushing through this service a little much. And I want to give God all the time and the glory and honor that he deserves. And we'll get out here in a timely fashion. But let's worship the Lord this morning. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. If you're able to stand, I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of God's word. 1 Thessalonians 4, starting with verse 13. And here the Bible says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Father, thank you for the reading of your word this morning. Lord, I'm praying now that you anoint me for a few minutes, Lord, to be able to expound upon this text. And Lord, may we come out from here today and just knowing what a mighty and wonderful, magnificent God that we serve. For it's these things I ask in the precious name of Jesus. And amen. You can be seated. I got to preach a message this morning the Lord has been dealing with me on all week long. And it is the doctrine of the pre-tribulation rapture. The doctrine of the pre-tribulation rapture. Now, when I say that word doctrine, don't go to sleep. A lot of people think that doctrine word is used for some long, boring exercise in a speech or something, but that's not what it is. What we need to know today as Christians is what the Bible says. We're biblicists today, and we trust in what God's word says, God's holy word. This King James Bible we use right here is God's holy, inspired word. It's perfect. It's infallible. There's not a mistake in it. There's not an accident. There's nothing. There may be some things we may not understand, but there's no contradictions in it either. But what we need to know is what the Bible says about things. Now, we claim to be this or claim to be that, claim that we believe this way or that way. But what we need to know is why we believe that. Not just because somebody said so. Not because you heard some preacher one time said that's the way it was. Or because your granny or grandpa told you that's the way it was. You need to know for yourself. You need to look in the scripture and read to see what God says about his word and what he wants us to know. So trust in what you learn from the scriptures by the leading of the Holy Spirit. And other men of God, a preacher, pastor, we can help you along. But you need to know this for yourself. And what we're dealing with here is some very important Bible doctrine. It is one that's a lot, it's neglected today, and it's shunned by a lot of places. In fact, it's become so controversial today that a lot of men don't want to preach on it. Because you mark my word, no more than I'll get this uploaded to the internet for everybody to hear, I'll get somebody to email me and tell me I'm wrong. They'll tell me that I'm dead wrong on what I'm preaching today. You mark my words. Because it's become so controversial today because of so many different ideas that are floating around out there. But what we're going to do is look at God's word and see what he says about the rapture of the church. And my friend, if you're saved today, you are the church. And you are the one we're talking about that's going to be raptured out of here one day. And we're going to see what God's word says. Now, let me go on record right now to state what I personally believe from reading God's word and from praying and asking the Holy Spirit to reveal to me what God's word says. And I believe what the Bible says over in Titus, I believe it's chapter 2 and verse 13, about that blessed hope. The blessed hope that comes in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in that. And I believe in the literal, the personal, the visible, the imminent, and the premillennial return of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I believe from the Bible. And I'll go on record to state that, and I can show you from Scripture how that is backed up. Well, we know that all believers, according to the Bible, will be caught up to be with the Lord. We'll be caught up to be with the Lord. If you do not die before the Lord returns, and if you know somebody that's passed away, when the Lord does return, those people are going to rise up first, the ones that's passed away already. But if you're still here and you're saved and the Lord comes back, we're going to go up like we sung about this morning to be with him in the clouds. We're going to be raptured out of here. And let's see what the Bible says. Now, first I want you to know that there's many people that believe many different ways. There are some Christians that believe the very opposite of what I'm going to tell you today from the Bible. And a lot of people actually seem like they want the church to go through the tribulation period. The 7 years of tribulation that's going to come on this earth, there's a lot of people today that really want the church to go through that. At least the way they talk, they do. And they will come up and they'll grab parts of Scripture to try to twist it around to make it look like that the church is going to go through the tribulation period. And we're going to suffer all those different things that the Lord is going to pour his wrath out upon this earth. And they believe the church is going to go through that. Well, you know, there's a lot of people who believe that. They believe in amillennialism and postmillennialism and all these other millennialisms and different words this morning. We're not going to give you the definitions for. But a lot of different beliefs out there. Now, listen, I'm not saying these people are not saved. They're saved. If they've trusted Jesus as their Savior, if they've admitted they're a sinner and trusted Christ as Savior, they're saved. But they're a little mistaken on their theology and their eschatology and their thoughts about the end of times. So I'm not saying they're not saved, but they're just a little confused. Well, we want to see what God's Word says. Now, tonight, I've already touched on the tribulation period. Tonight, we're going to look at that a little more in depth and see what's going to happen during that time and who's going to be in that. And we'll be talking about that more tonight. But today, we want to look at this pre-tribulation rapture. This is when the church, when those that are saved are caught up, they've been snatched up, they've been taken to be with the Lord. In our opening text, the Apostle Paul, he's writing to the church at Thessalonica. Now, he wasn't as close to the church at Thessalonica as he was at some, like in Philippi and Corinthians. He wasn't as close to them, but he loved them dearly. In fact, he says this about those guys. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, Paul writes, "So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us." And then in verse 20 of that same chapter 2, he says, "For ye are our glory and joy." So Paul has a deep love for these people, this church that started, and he's wanting to instruct them. The reason being, they're going through a lot of trials. They're going through a lot of tribulation, if you will, here on this earth. They're being persecuted. They're going through a lot of things. And so they're becoming confused about what's going to happen. They want to know some specifics. They want to know, first of all, what's happening to all of our friends and family that trusted Jesus as Savior, but they're dead now. What's going to happen to them when Christ comes? You see, these people were waiting for the imminent return of Jesus at any moment. At any moment, they were expecting him to return. That's the way it's been ever since Christ ascended into heaven there in the book of Acts, as we've been studying about. When Christ ascended up on that cloud of glory, and those disciples were standing there looking up like this, you know, wondering what's going on. And those angels were standing there and said, why are you gazing up, looking at this? You see, he's going to come back in like manner as he's left here. And so we've been expecting him to return at any minute. Well, these early New Testament believers were certainly, I mean, they were walking around expecting any day. I imagine they went out their doors every day looking to see if maybe it was the day. And so these people that were going through all these trials and persecution, they were really concerned. What's happening to those that's already died? If Christ returns today, are they going to be left out of it? Are they not going to be part of it? Are they going to miss out? And they were concerned about that. And then they was wondering, what's happening to us? If Christ returns today, what's going to become of us? Are we going to just stay here? Is he going to get us? Or what's happening? Are we going to just die? And so they want to know what's going to happen, and they got some specifics there. And so Paul has to write this letter to them to assure them and to give them some kind of security in their beliefs and let them know what's going to happen during that time. And if they will face tribulation, will they have to go through that great tribulation that they know of? Many of them feared that those already passed away and buried would miss Christ. And so look at our text now in verse 13, and Paul addresses it. He said, But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now, asleep, is a metaphor that's used in the Bible to refer to those that are dead. Lazarus sleepeth, but he was dead, but Christ brought him back up. The young lady that passed away, she sleepeth, but Christ brought her back. So that's a term the Bible uses for being dead is asleep. And he says, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, about those that are dead. They're asleep. That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. I like that, what he says there. What he's telling them is, look, these people that don't know Christ, that has never trusted Jesus as Savior, that don't have any hope, brethren, they're sad and miserable individuals. I don't want you to be that way because you have hope. You're not like them that don't have any hope. You've got hope, brothers. Verse 14, he said, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. In other words, quit worrying about them that's passed on. Those that are asleep that you love so much that trusted Jesus as Savior, they're going to go. God's going to come and bring them with him. And so they're not going to miss out on anything. He's faithful and he'll bring them to himself just as he said he would. And so he wants to give them that assurance. And he goes on, verse 15. He said, for this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So not only are they going to be not missing it, they're going to be the first on board. They're the first ones that's going to meet Jesus. The first ones coming out of there. Even before you guys that are alive and remain, they're going to come up first. And so they're going to meet him first. Now I want you to turn back to 1 Corinthians 15. And I want you to look at two verses with me. 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to look at 51 and 52. I believe is all I want to look at. Yeah, it's backwards there, just a few chapters, the books. 1 Corinthians 15, I want to look at verses 51 and 52. And this is Paul again talking to the church at Corinth and on the same subject. 1 Corinthians 15 and 51. He said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Go ahead and look at 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And so Paul is dealing with the same subject. Go back to 1 Thessalonians 4. Paul's dealing with the same subject here, what's going to become of believers. What's going to happen when Christ returns. And he said, I'm going to show you a mystery. What's that mean? Well, what that means is this mystery has been shrouded. Now, the Old Testament didn't go into the details of how this is going to happen. The Old Testament didn't speak of this. It's a mystery. Now, the other gospel writers like Mark, Luke, and John, these men didn't speak much about this, about the rapture, the second coming, about what's going to happen in that day. But Paul personally was given this information. If you remember what happened to Paul after he was gloriously saved, and the Lord brought him out in the Arabian desert there for 3 years. And in those 3 years, Paul was revealed things by God that no other man knew. He was given a lot of information that a lot of the other men didn't know. And Paul, being the preacher unto the Gentiles, he has this information available. And he says, I want to reveal to you this mystery. This mystery has been shrouded. It's no longer a mystery. Let me tell you what's going to happen. And he said, we're not going to all sleep. Now, when he says that, see, Paul, he knows that Christ is going to return. He don't know the date. He don't know when Christ is going to come back, and we don't know. No man knows the hour, no man knows the day. The only person that knows is the Father. So Paul don't know the specific date, but he, just like these people here, have the imminent belief that Christ is going to return at any minute. And so he tells them not everybody's going to sleep. Not everybody's going to die in Christ. But there'll be people remaining. And when Christ returns, what's going to happen? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're all going to be changed. What does that mean? That means these old wretched bodies that we live in, these that are filled with cancer ridden, that have to have radiation, chemotherapy, these that were broken down with diabetes and high blood pressure and all these problems that we have, these old bodies of ours that we've had to dwell in all this time are going to be changed. You see, these bodies won't make it into heaven. These bodies can't make it there. And so it's going to change from this corruptible body that we have, this rotten flesh that we have, into something that's perfect. It's incorruptible. In other words, he's going to change our bodies in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, when Jesus comes, and we're going to ascend with him on a cloud, and we're going to have these new resurrection bodies. And the dead in Christ, they're going to have new bodies as well. The dead in Christ are going to rise up. All the dust and the bones and the thing, they're going to come, and they're going to have a new body. And so we're all going to have these new resurrection bodies, and it's going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And he said, the last trump. Now, when he says the last trump, what that refers to is the last trumpet sound for the end of the church age. That's the last trump. Now, there'll be other trumpets that'll be sounded. And we see those in the book of Revelation. You see all those seven trumpet judgments and all the judgments we hear and the trumpet sounds. Those are other ones. But this last trump is the trump that blows to signify that the end of the church age has occurred, that Christ has come and took his bride out of this earth, no longer to have to suffer here on this earth, but to take us with him. And so the last trump will sound. Now, believe it or not, there's some crazies out here today that think that Donald Trump is the last trump, that God sent Donald Trump to be the last trump. Friends, these people are out of their minds if they believe that. But let me tell you today, the last trump is one that's the Lord's going to blow. It's going to sound. It's going to come from heaven. And he says the voice of an archangel. And it's going to be a loud, it's going to be a miraculous thing that's going to occur. Now, so he says it'll be when the Lord himself descends from heaven. And there'll be a shout, the voice of an archangel, and the trump of God. So this is a very visible, audible return of Christ that's going to occur. Now, there's some people today that teach and preach a secret rapture, that the church will be secretly raptured out. Nobody's going to know what happened. We're all just all of a sudden going to poof, disappear, and nobody will have a clue. There was some good preachers that I know that follow that theology. I don't agree with that. I believe what the Bible says here is that it's going to be loud. It's going to be a trumpet sound. There's going to be the voice of an archangel. And they teach that only believers will hear all this. Well, the Bible doesn't specifically say that. I believe it's going to be very visible, very loud, everybody's going to know what's going on. And those that are left behind here that have never trusted Jesus their Savior, their fear is going to be stricken in their heart. And friends, it's going to be an awful day for those people. So there's this. It's not a secret. It's well known. These believers, suddenly we're going to be meeting and uniting with Christ in the air on the cloud. Now, verse 17 of 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17, says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds," talking about we're going to meet with those that were dead, that's went up, "to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Never to be out of the Lord's presence again. We'll be with the Lord. Now, we know that Paul says, you know, we leave this life to be, we'll be present with the Lord when we leave here. We know that. But he's talking about our souls. Our spirit will go to be on with him, but those old bodies will still be rotten in the ground. But on this day, when we're resurrected and we have that resurrection body, and our spirit and soul is going to be reunited with that resurrection body, and we're going to be with him. And friends, that's going to be a time. So he explained what's going to happen to the dead in Christ. They'll be the first ones raptured. Their bodies will be changed. He said in verse 14, God will bring them with him. That means he's going to snatch them up. In verse 16, he said, the dead in Christ shall rise first. So they know that. Now he's dealing with what's going to happen to you if Christ comes back and you're alive. So the question comes up, what about those that are alive and remain? What happens to the living when Jesus returns? Now, you always hear the phrase, the second coming of Christ, okay? We know his first coming. He was born as a babe in Bethlehem. He walked on this earth for about 33 and a third years. He taught and preached, and then he was crucified, he was buried, and he rose again. He went to sit on the right hand of the Father in heaven, where he makes intercession for you and I. And so that's what Jesus did at his first coming. His second coming is going to be broken down into two different parts. The first part being when the church is resurrected out of this earth, when the church is raptured out. We're raptured out of here. And then there's going to be a second part of that, which is referred to as his second coming. Now, we're going to see there's going to be another rapture for another set of believers. But this is going to be, we'll talk about tonight, this is going to be those that are saved after this happens, and those specifically the Jews. And so there's going to be a second rapture. Now, these early believers, like I said, they've been expecting the imminent return of Jesus Christ. Now, we studied in our Wednesday night Bible study about those men that were waiting and looking. And they were looking for that return. Now, naturally, we're concerned about the order of the events. What's going to have the order? So here's the order. Here's the order. First, Christ will ascend from heaven. That means he's going to come down on the cloud just like he went out of here, just like the angel said. And with a shout. The shout come from heaven. Now, don't know specifically who the shout comes from. Does it come from the Lord? Does it come from the heavenly choir? Does it come from heaven? Is it God himself? It's a shout, and it's a loud sounding shout. And it's a calling out of his church is what it is. And it says a voice of an archangel. We know Michael to be an archangel. But this is the signifying of, it's the voice of an archangel and the trump of God. This trump of God is the sounding out and the calling, just like they did in Ezekiel, when the trumpet is sounded. That's the call for God's people to rise up. It's time that Christ is here. So that's going to happen first. And then secondly, the bodies of the dead will rise up out of their graves and they'll join him. And then thirdly, those that are alive remaining will be caught up. Do you notice those words? Caught up. There's two words there they use. Caught up. Together with Christ. And the dead in Christ will join them in the clouds to be forever with the Lord. So these two sets of believers, the dead and the alive and remaining, will all be caught up to be with Jesus. Now, that is a description of the rapture of the church. And you'll hear people say things like, well, the rapture is not in the Bible. I hear men say this all the time. You can't find rapture in the Bible. And granted, you won't find the word rapture in the Bible. That word is not in the Bible. Okay? But neither is the word Trinity. Trinity is not in the Bible either. And so if you go around and start picking and nitpicking and things like that, let me tell you where the word rapture comes from. I guess it's an unfortunate word that we've used for people to be able to bust up everybody else's beliefs. But those two words, caught up. These two words, caught up, they're translated from the Greek word harpazo. Now, what this means is to carry off, to snatch up, to grasp hastily, to pull up. That's what that word means, a harpazo. And so that word harpazo has been turned into rapture, which involves two different steps. So they take the Greek words, harpazo, and they translate it into Latin. Now, follow with me here. Don't go to sleep. They take the Latin word raptus, the raptus, which means to be caught up, to be snatched up. And we turn that word into our English word, rapture. Okay, that's where the word rapture comes from. But you go back to the real meaning of harpazo, it means to be caught up, to snatched. And so we use the word rapture. And it's a lot much easier. We don't say, well, what about the catching up of the church? We could say that. What about the catching up or the snatching up of the church? When that's going to happen? We could start saying that. But we use the word rapture. Now, the fact is, the Bible tells us there will be these men that scoff at this. The Bible tells us this. There'll be men in the latter days that will laugh about that and saying that, well, wait a minute, this is not going to happen. Look at 2 Peter 3, 3 and 4. The Bible warns us of it. 2 Peter 3, 3 and 4. The Bible says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. In other words, where is this Jesus you've promised is coming back? Things haven't changed. Look at all the years that's went by. It's the same as it was back when Abraham died and when Isaac and all the other the fathers in the past. It's the same as Jesus when he passed and went on to be in heaven. Nothing's changed. He's not come back. And so they scoff, those idiots down there that believe such things like that. And they laugh about it. Well, the Bible tells us they would. But the Bible certainly, certainly, without a doubt, teaches of the rapture of the church, the catching up of the saints. Those who trusted Jesus as their Savior here on this earth will be raptured out of here. And whether you believe that or not, whether these men that teach otherwise believe that or not, it doesn't matter, because when he does, he'll take them. If they're saved, they'll be snatched up. And you know what's going to happen then? And as I see them going up, I'm going to say, see, I told you so. But it doesn't mean they're not saved. And so we're going to get snatched up one day, raptured, if we're still alive and remain. Verse 18 of our text, back to 1 Thessalonians, says, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." And so Paul tells the church they need to take comfort in this. Tell your other friends that are concerned about it, your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, your family members and friends, the other church people. Tell them and give them comfort, because they're all concerned about this. And you need to give them comfort. And it should give them some relief from their worries. And look, I understand you're going through some tribulation right now. You're going through some persecution. And it's bad. Grant you, it's bad. The church today is going through some persecution. It's going to get worse in the next 400 days before we get somebody else in office. But I want to tell you today, the church is being persecuted. It's being persecuted every day, but it's not what's going to happen in that great tribulation. Friends, you don't want part of that great tribulation. Why some men want the church to go through that? Why some men think that Jesus wants to drag the bride of Christ through the great tribulation, I do not understand, when the Bible tells us otherwise, that we're going to be snatched up, caught up to be with Him. So we take comfort in it. One of those things we should take comfort in is knowing the Lord is not going to force His bride to go through the tribulation suffering. We're not appointed under wrath, the Bible says. We're not appointed under wrath. Now, while we are to take comfort in this, and while those believers need to take comfort in it, we also must take caution. Don't get to feeling like, well, you know what? Everything's going to be fine, so I don't have to worry about it. I'll go about living my life any old way, and Jesus is going to come, and He's going to take us out of here. Everything's going to be good. You know, live in glory. Don't get so comfortable, friends. While that may be true, and we can take comfort in knowing what's going to happen, we also need to take caution. The fact is, we do not know the date of when Jesus is going to return. We don't know when the imminent return of Christ is. We don't know that. The Bible told us only the Father knew. And He has a set time period. Now, there's men in this world. That man that passed away about 2 or 3 years ago, Harold Camping, and he made numerous predictions of when the end of the world was going to come and Christ was going to come back. And he had people that were real believers in Jesus that were fooled by this man. They sold off all their possessions. I mean, they lost all their money. They lost their homes. They lost everything because they followed that teaching. We're not to teach dates. That's not what this is about. Don't go in for that date thing. And I don't know why people get caught up in that. They get all into that, you know, today. I had somebody email me this week. You know what the title of the email was? It said, "You're going to die." And so I wanted to click on it and see how I was going to die. You know? So I click on it, and this guy, his name was Prophet Nathan something other. It wasn't the real Prophet Nathan, trust me. And he had all these things in there about how he's going to die in November. How much time we got, friends? What is today, the 8th? Well, according to that guy, we ain't going to make it through the end of this month. I want you to know that men have been doing silly things like that all since ever since Jesus went up in the clouds. Don't fall for that. Don't listen to it, because we don't know. Listen to what Jesus says, Matthew 25 and 13. He says, "Watch, therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Who are you going to trust? You going to trust somebody that emailed you and told you you're going to die this month? Are you going to trust Jesus, who said, "Hey, you don't know. You don't know the day. You don't know the hour when I'm coming." And He says this in Matthew 24, 42 through 44. He tells us what to do in the meantime. He said, "Watch. Watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." So before you get too comfortable here on this earth, you need to take caution, because you don't know when the Lord's going to come back. We're to be watching and waiting and preparing for that day. Preparing for it. Now, when I was a young man, many of you know this to be a fact. When you turn on the radio or you go to a church, there was usually some preacher out there preaching against going to movies and going to certain places. I'm not here to preach against going to the movies, okay? If that's your thing, you go to the movies. I'm not preaching against them. Well, I do want to tell you this. I don't want to be watching some filthy movie
being in a movie theater when the Lord returns. I don't want to be there. I wouldn't want to be in an adult bookstore when the Lord returned. I wouldn't want to be sitting on a bar stool when the Lord returned. I wouldn't want to be sitting in front of the computer looking at pornography when the Lord returned. I wouldn't want to be renting some dirty videos and watching them in the private of my own home when the Lord returned. I wouldn't want to be down here at the convenience store buying beer and dirty magazines when the Lord returned. I wouldn't want to be any of those places when the Lord returned. What about you? Friends, we need to be watching. We don't know the hour. We don't know the day. And we need to be alert and ready, because people of this world that are lost are watching your life. They're listening to your conversations. They're listening to what you say. If you say the way you live, if it really matches up with what you say. You're the only Bible some people read. And if we're not living like we're expecting them in a return of Christ, what does that say about us? What does that say about our love for the Lord? What's that say about our trust in Him and our blessed hope? It says we have no hope. It says that we're just like the world. We could care less. Lord, I'm going to do what I want. We're going to turn His grace into lasciviousness. We're going to turn it into something it is not. But I tell you what, the number one place I would not want to be when the Lord returns is that's the state of being lost. I would not want to be lost when the Lord returns. Because friends, if you're lost when the Lord returns, you're not going up there. You're not going to be snatched up. You're not going to be raptured out. You will stay here to suffer through all the great tribulation and the time of Jacob's trouble, what we'll be talking about tonight. You will suffer that. That's where I wouldn't want to be when Jesus returns. Because if I'm lost, He's not going to come get me. Now in the book of Titus, and I'll be finished, but Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. Let me tell you what the Bible says. Titus 2, 11 through 14. The Bible says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for," there's those words, "that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." So my friend, while you're getting comfortable, I want you to take caution. Now take comfort in His return and the blessed hope, but take caution and be prepared and be ready for that day. Don't be living in such a way that the Bible speaks of here, of an ungodly situation. Let us be ready. Let us be waiting. I refer to that famous passage of Scripture that I always like to quote over in John 14 and 1. He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, while the gospel writers didn't mention the rapture, Jesus certainly there in John 14 assured us that He was going to come and He was going to take those that trusted in Him with Him to live with Him forever and evermore. Friends, we can take hope in that today. Now, I'm going to ask them to get the invitation song. And I want to ask you this morning, where your heart is when it comes to this. Are you ready for this time? If you're not saved today, you're not going to be raptured out with the church. You're not going to be. The church age will end and you'd missed it. And you'll be part of those left behind. You'll be part of those we're going to speak about tonight. And there's going to be very little hope for you after that. So I want you to stand this morning. I want us to pray together. And if you have a need today, whether it's backslidden condition, maybe you're lost. Maybe you need to trust Jesus today as your Savior. I want to ask you today to make things right before it's too late. And let's pray together as they play this invitation. Heavenly Father, I'm asking you today, Lord, to help us in this invitation time. Lord, I trust that we've preached your word the best that we can. Lord, we've followed what you've said, Lord. We feel like it's the Spirit leading us this way. And God, we're trusting in that blessed hope this morning. God, I know that there's those that may be here today, Lord, that are not sure. God, may they're unsure of their salvation. Lord, they don't know for a fact if you return, Lord, if they be taken with you. Lord, if there's one like that today, I want to ask you to convict their heart, Lord, with the Holy Spirit. Let them know, Lord, what the truth is, Lord. And the truth is that they need to repent of their sins. They need to trust you as their Savior, Lord, their Lord and Savior, God, to save them. Lord, I'm asking you to help them today. Lord, if there's one backslidden today and they've gotten out of your will, Lord, maybe they be caught in one of these places I was speaking of. Lord, and in your imminent return, when you come back, God, that they be found in a place they shouldn't be. If there's one like that today, Lord, would you help them? Would you show them that you require us to be holy people? And help them with that. God, help us today. Continue praying today as they play this. I'm not going to extend the invitation long. Maybe a verse or so. But if you need help today, would you come down and pray? I surely pray with you this morning. Anybody that needs help, you come down.